Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. We're two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing their way through life, parenthood, and owning creative businesses.
I'm Katie Day, a photographer, comedy writer, and performer, and mom of four.
And I'm Shaylee Murphy, a video producer, interior designer, and mom of one. We'd like to talk a little bit about Inspire Good Publishing. So Inspire Good creates beautiful, tactile paper goods and products. So they inspire good for yourself and for other people, and they make a positive impact on the world. One of their products is called the Acts of Good Journal, and basically it's created as a blank canvas in a tangible book that you release into the world through doing acts of good for other people. And then the acts of good are documented into the journal as they're passed along. So at the end of it, the journal gets shipped back to you, and you have like a whole manuscript of how you made the world a better place. Instead of a passport with stamps, you're basically collecting stories of good actions. It's the coolest idea ever. And Katie and I both have one.
Yeah, it's super cool, guys. And it's really well designed. It's so pretty.
They're beautiful. And we're so excited to send ours out into the world and see what amazing stories come back. What a great gift idea if you're looking for something unique and different, but also beautiful to give.
Acts of good. Yep. Inspire good.
So right now is a great time to pick one up. They just recently released volume 2 of the Acts of Good Journal, and you can get yours at inspiregood.com. You can also use the promo code PODCAST to receive 25% off your entire order. We'll link it in the show notes on shayleeandkatie.com so you can check it out for yourself.
FreshBooks was the best thing I have ever done to organize my business. I'm a pretty good photographer, but I'm not very good at keeping track of numbers. They intimidate me. I hate it. I dread it. I procrastinate it, but no longer with FreshBooks. So it's super easy to use. You can create and send professional looking invoices in less than 30 seconds. I used to do that by hand. It was so much time wasted.
Oh, no.
Set up online payments with just a couple clicks and get paid up to 4 days faster. And you can see when your client has seen your invoice and put an end to the guessing game. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our listeners. And to claim it, you just go to freshbooks.com/SK and enter Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And now, a song.
I'm in love with your FreshBooks. It is offering 30 days free. I'm in love with your FreshBooks. Set up online payments, just a couple clicks. I'm in love with your FreshBooks.
I'm in love with your time tracking app. I'm in love with your mobile expenses. I'm in love with your online support that's available 24 hours a day.
I'm in love with you, FreshBooks.
Hey guys, welcome back to Shaylee and Katie the podcast. Coming to you still from the farm.
We're still at the farm.
It is morning now.
We've made it one night.
We have coffee. Yeah, it's kind of a deep topic for first in the morning, but I'm kind of excited about it. Not for you. We are going to be talking about your purpose.
Your purpose in life. but more specifically,
your career purpose. Purpose, or yeah. How do you figure out what you're good at? Or how do you figure out how to monetize your passions? Mm-hmm. And how the little things along the way might be preparing you for something later.
So
you
They
absolutely are. So you can't ever discount where you're at right now and what you're learning there, because it could be preparing you for your dream job.
Who knows? Who's to say?
Shaylee says it is.
It is. It is.
But before we get into that, we have to, of course, thank our other sponsor. This episode is brought to you by
Aptitude Tests. I think Katie likes these a little bit more than me.
I took all of them when I was a senior in high school.
She was like, did you ever take one? I was like, I think, right?
She said I think I failed those tests.
I think the aptitude test told me I wasn't gifted to aptitude tests. That's what they said at the end.
I always wonder, my brother works for Career Builder, and I'm like, did you go there to get career, assessed? And then they were like, just work here. It's fine. Yeah, there's nothing
for you. I feel
like
you're a good fit. This is it. This is the highest level you'll get.
Just kidding. He's amazing and great salesperson. So good job, Kev. Aptitude tests. You take a bunch of questions and tells you what you should be when you grow up.
Is that the tag?
Aptitude test.
Aptitude test.
No, we need some taglines. Okay. My personal tagline was aptitude test. You scored the highest in fine arts. Your mom says those don't pay. Now what? Aptitude tests.
And you've learned in your life?
They can pay.
They can pay.
Stay tuned.
Aptitude tests. Something to talk about over lunch, awkwardly.
With all your friends.
I'd feel like I, yeah, that's true. Good lunchroom banter.
What are you good at? Yeah, what are, I'm going to be a physician. It's like, are you, are Billy? You can't even do your homework in high school. And then you go in 30 years later and he is your doctor and you're like, oh.
This is awkward. So I'm gonna make that into a tagline.
Okay, okay.
Aptitude test. Really, Billy?
Really, Billy? Thanks, aptitude test.
Thanks, aptitude test.
Okay, so this is kind of twofold. I'm not solving all of your problems. We have had a listener question of how to, like, know what you're good at.
Yeah.
So that is kind of an underlying theme. But then also just taking a look at how you decide on a career option that you may love versus one that you feel just kind of trapped in. And also just, yeah, things in your life that have prepared you. I'm going to use my life. Get excited. But first of all, just kind of going through a few thoughts of the topic. Basically, there's not a time limit for doing what you love. So it's not like, I'm 35 now. Like, I guess I'm not going to ever have my dream job. I'll just stay here. And it's like, you're only like barely even halfway through your career. You know, people either graduate from high school and start working, or they get out of college and start working, or they go to college forever and then they make a lot of money. Sometimes not. But I'm thinking more of like a doctor. But just going into it with an open mind of no matter where you're at or how many kids you have or what your spouse does, or you don't have a spouse, but instead of taking all of that into consideration of like a box that you're putting yourself in, just keeping an open mind of, hey, we live in America, the land of possibilities. Yeah. And my life may look differently if I make sacrifices to do other things that I want to do, but it's possible. So I'm going to give action steps here at the end, but just to start out with a few fun facts of life,
okay.
A few things about Shaylee. If you listened way back 50 some episodes ago,
yeah,
you might know some of this, but I stuttered terribly as a young child. And I had to go to speech class, and I was like elementary school before I stopped. So I don't know that that's necessarily like stuttering didn't prepare me for like, and now I'm doing a podcast, but kind of, it's just kind of one of those interesting facts of all of the different things that happened over the course of my life.
Like, I think about your mom, if you had told her during the time when she was probably very concerned about it.
Yeah.
She's going to, like, make money by talking someday.
Someday.
And she's going to think, no way. Like, how hopeful.
She'll talk. Yay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's strange. And then I did, don't judge me. This is a formal disclaimer not to judge me. I did competitive cheerleading.
Shocker.
I started at sixth grade. And then I would do stuff even before sixth grade, but it was just like little day clinics. They don't let you like really launch in usually in elementary school. And so it was outside of the school. So I did that sixth, seventh, and part of eighth grade. And then in eighth grade, I tried out for the school team. And so then I was always like the little go-getter captain, not because I was necessarily the most talented. I probably just like had my fingers and everything, and I'd be like, I'll choreograph it. I'll cut the music with a cassette tape.
You're passionate.
So, yeah, I'm passionate. I was excited about life. So I did cheerleading and then all the way through high school. And then after high school, which I'll kind of get back to this, I started coaching at a junior high and high school, a private school that was on the campus of the college I went to. And I did that for like 9 years. I kept thinking, when I get a real job, I'll quit cheerleading coaching. And then I always just had a job flexible enough to where I could keep doing it. But I'd look at that and I'd think, that doesn't, like, why am I really putting time and energy into coaching cheerleading? This is probably not anything that I'll use later in life. So there was that. I was in student council, in leadership in that. I substitute taught. These are a few jobs that I had. I substitute taught while I was in college. I worked at a cupcake shop. I worked at my dad's business in outside sales, selling office equipment.
Yeah, yeah. Sexy.
Right. Everyone's dream. I worked selling, I didn't sell timeshares, but I sent people to the timeshare tour. That was a low point. but true. And okay, so you look at all of those things. And oh, and I majored in interior design in college. So you look at all of those things and think, you work in video production with your husband as your main job. Like, what a waste of time. All of those random things that you spent and stayed after school doing, whatever, when you look at that. So what's really weird is lately I've had a lot of things come up that are strangely tied to my past experiences. So for one, when I got into video production, I used to cut cheerleading music in an editing program. I understood how to cut music seamlessly together. Obviously, it was a different type of music. It wasn't like the sound effects like, welcome to the show. Anyway, pew, pew, pew. There's a lot of explosions. I'm like, I need a good explosion sound effect. You got any, Jonathan? So anyway, but that was like my gateway drug to actually video editing, because it like got me into the program that been scared to start. Yeah, it's the same editing program. So, but then also just learning a lot of things that feel insignificant are teaching you how to deal with people, which is pretty much, if you can learn how to deal with people, and when I say deal with them, I mean communicate clearly to them, deliver on time, figure out what their expectations are of you, tell them your expectations of them, and follow through. I was like a counselor at leadership camp, and I just think, why did I do all that?
Right.
But all of those things, even if they feel insignificant, are preparing you for later in life. So
maybe treat them like
a little
they
bit
matter.
More important. Yeah, what you're doing right now matters. And so if you're in the phase where you're working as a cheerleading coach or whatever,
or like an hourly grind.
An hourly coffee shop or whatever. I worked at a cupcake shop that was very much so. I was like, I would like to make $10 an hour. And they were like, I'm sure you're worth that, but we can pay you $8. And I was right. Like, I'll take it.
It's a cupcake shop. Let's be real about what you're going
to
do here.
Right. You're icing a cupcake. We can find someone else to do it.
I'm sure you're worth that.
I'm sure you're worth that.
Ice better.
And it was really nice. Like, we would love to pay you that. I was leaving from like a full-time job in outside sales, like commission-based. They probably were like, oh, honey. but it was part of figuring out what I wanted to do. And at that point in my life, I was like, I want to make less money and take higher risk to do something that I'm enjoying.
Right.
So a few little strange things. So cheerleading coaching. When I started doing freelance interior design, I would say 80 or 90% of my clients were moms that were moms of my cheerleaders.
Oh, wow.
And so that started my interior. I mean, it was a private school. It wasn't like inexpensive to go there. It was probably like a normal college-ish tuition of like a state school. So a lot of the moms there would work or stay home and need some extra help. And I was like there with their girls all the time, and they knew that that was what I was studying. So I still have clients and people that I know in my life who are still calling me however many 10 years later because they know me because their daughter was a cheerleader on my team.
Wow, yeah.
Even if it was like their daughter was a cheerleader her seventh grade year and now she's out of college.
Right.
But they still know me from that. Finding little things that connect and are important. Most recently, I'll say this one, and then I want to hear your timeline of kind of what you think, if you've been thinking of some things.
I haven't.
Recently, I was called in with one of our larger nonprofit clients that wanted us to talk about one video of a larger broadcast that they were working on. And so they go, why don't you just come and be a fly on the wall? So I like went in to be a fly on the wall and then got like too helpful, which I always do. And I'm like, let me see that run sheet. Like, do you really think 4 minutes is, you know, and it's like, I have nothing to do with the run sheet. So I got to the end of the meeting and they were like, actually, Shaylee's project managing this whole thing, the 60-minute broadcast. She just doesn't know it yet. And then I was like, are you kidding? I can't get a read. And then he like emailed and was like, no, but really, like, I think you'd be really good at it. Just think about it. So I was like, sure. I've never, as long as everyone's clear that I've not project managed an entire, you know, 60-minute broadcast that's live taped in Los Angeles before. But like, as long as we're all cool with that, I'm cool with it. So then it ended up one of the guys who's producing it is like, I want you to co-produce it with me. And I'm like, okay, as long as we're all clear that I've never produced anything before, then I'm good. Like, I'm not overselling myself, right? We all know. Okay. So that involved working with different students who were like performing dances, etc. on stage and working with a team. So I had history with that from coaching cheerleading. I had to find royalty-free music that I had that background from video, but then also had to kind of coordinate what would be good to perform a dance to, which I randomly knew because of cheerleading coaching in the back. And then also the set design. They were figuring out furniture that would look good, and then someone's like, hey, she studied interior design. And they were like, okay, you got it. You can go to the, like, prop furniture area and just tell the guys what you need. So I was like, grabbing random succulents out of the bathrooms and like setting them around and helping kind of help design the set of the furniture. So anyway, it was just a really cool situation to be in where I was like, this is all me. Jonathan, my support system, we're, you know, we are producing video elements for the broadcast, but my role in this was just to be, you know, a project manager slash producer helper, running around helping the teleprompter people load things into the teleprompter, working on the scripts, working on the music, coordinating with the talent that was going to be on camera, making sure everyone was prepared with their questions. And I felt like, not in a cheesy way, but kind of like everything in my life has prepared me for this moment of this random tools, like set of talent and abilities and experience that I have that you would never think would be needed or even all connected, but I could use it all in this one random job. So just to be encouraging to people who may be in a season where they don't feel like necessarily what they're doing is what they want to be doing long term, but just keeping a positive thought process and realizing, hey, even if this doesn't make sense in my brain now, in the future, there's a very, very good possibility that this will be something that I can use and something I'm doing that I love.
Yeah, what's the nugget?
Yeah, what's the nugget I can take from this?
Yeah. So, Katie?
Yeah. Well,
what do you feel like?
Just briefly, I feel like I could have been like, why did I waste all that time on musical theater? I thought I was going to major it, and then I changed my mind, but musical theater led to improv. Mm-hmm. Improv led to a life skill I use in every part of owning life a creative business. Life is one big improv. But also, I think it got me in some doors. I remember like an interview that was going a little bit boring. I was like, "Ooh, this is not, I'm not nailing this." And then they were like, "Improv comedy, what?" And then I kind of lit up and got to talk about that. And I think it set me apart of like, wait a minute, we've interviewed 10 graphic designers. You're the only one with improv comedy.
This experience. One seems fun.
Right. And what's that mean? That would be interesting in a client room. But then, working at an ad agency, I knew pretty quickly, oh, I don't know if this is like my fit, like if the corporate deadline working late is a fit.
Right.
But I invested a couple years into it. And then what's funny is if I think back, not only am I very, very grateful for everything I learned design wise, because it's like intense master course of like, yeah, here's how production works and here's how you can be a professional. But I think about it, and I worked at a big agency with like 200 employees. And mm-hmm. before I left to pursue my photography business, I was like scrolling through Facebook one day and I was like, every single one of my coworkers' profile picture is a picture that I have taken. I was like, I think every single person who works here has now booked me for a session.
Totally.
And I wasn't charging a lot then, but then they all told five friends. And right. So I'm like, how much of my business and my initial clientele do I owe to just being an employee who everyone's like, oh, you're here.
Employee.
I know. Yeah, a pleasant employee who's like, oh, I like your pictures. I know. I'm in their face. And then I got to, you know, do some work for them. And then it spiraled into other people. So my client base was like 100% ad agency.
Yeah.
My first year. And then even the fact that I kicked myself a little bit of like, did I waste my graphic design degree when I dropped it for photography? But no, it's really not true. Like when you have that degree, you can do all of your own branding. You can do all of your own.
You can make a podcast overnight.
You can make a podcast overnight. It's like a skill that can, you know, beget many other businesses forever. So
totally.
It's funny how it may not look, you know, the degree path may not look exactly how you chose, but you can kind of look back and be like, oh, but it all ended up adding up.
Right. It's all adding to, nothing's a waste. Every piece
right.
of your life is adding to the person that you are.
Yeah.
And every trial that you go through and every struggle, not to be like preachy, but I mean, everything's adding to the person you are and creating your personality and creating how you deal with people with empathy and everything.
Yes.
Everything's adding to you, whether good or bad.
Right.
Anything else you feel like strangely prepared
well, and
you?
Then just like, I think my biggest life goal, which this is this is maybe groany for some people who don't share this life goal, but I mean, I really just wanted to be a killer mom. And so it's funny how some of these creative production tasks, like I've gotten to do really cool projects with my kids because I have a graphic design background, a video background. Sometimes my mom laughs because I'm like, Callie wanted to write a book the other day and I'm like, let's get tracing paper and then we can trace over this and we can scan it into the computer, we can color it in Photoshop, then we can duplicate it.
And you're like, where's my list of publishers?
Right, exactly. And then mom's like, okay, but Callie, you know, this isn't normal, right? Like, more moms would give you just like a normal scrap of paper and tape it all together. But who knows what that's leading to? You never know. Yeah, you don't know what my kids will become because they kind of like, you know, knew about some part of a creative world.
Accountants. They will become accountants.
All of them. Kidding. Who knows? They're like, you know, I used it all up in my childhood. But it's not wasted. And I feel like sometimes I can put less value on the stuff I'm doing at home. Like, cool, glad I got that graphic design degree so I can make a cool first birthday invitation. But it, like, it's all fun. It all matters. It's all the little stuff that makes life fun.
And yeah, it's true that you never know. And it's not like your life is over. You're at like 30. So also, I'll say at the beginning, it was a topic idea from one of our friends. We did like a mass text of our friends like, hey, what topic idea should we do in the podcast? And someone had said like, talk about how each part of your life prepares you in some way for the future, even if it seems small. So shout out to that friend. I'm sorry we don't remember who you are. We could look back and find it.
Was it Jen or Michelle?
I feel like it had to be Jen or Michelle. Basically, to wrap kind of this up and then give some actionable tips for, that's really cool for you guys, but what if I'm working at the ad agency and I want to be the photographer, or how do I kind of figure out where I'm at with that? Now I'm going to go through some actionable tips on how to actually get there. So there's the old way of thinking in people's lives that in order to be successful, you have to start a job straight out of college, you have to stay there for 30 years, you have to work your way up the ladder, and then you retire there, and that's success. And that's the not old way of thinking, but kind of. I think it's more of what our parents did. But you have to have the flexibility to look at the possibilities, and don't be hard on yourself and learn from mistakes you make along the way. So you may start at a job you hate, and it's not that you're stuck there for 30 years or you're not going to be successful. You know, take a realistic look around, and is that somewhere that you want to be? Do you enjoy the job or not? Once you've decided not and you want to do something different, you don't have to listen to unsolicited advice. So while this podcast could be looked at as unsolicited advice, you solicited it when you clicked on it and you're listening to it. But I'm thinking more of like the Debbie Downers that are kind of like, but you have a family, or like, oh, are you sure? Like, you guys just got married. Is that like a smart move? Right. I don't know. And sometimes it's not, but for the most part, if you're taking steps to make it as safe as possible, nothing's safe. I mean, even a job at a...
Right, you don't know when that could end.
Yeah, you could get laid off. You could get, you know, lose your job. They could hire in someone. I mean, you never really know. So why it might be a little bit more secure. If it's not what you love doing either, you're just going to like live out your life not enjoying what you do most of the time, which is sad thought. So everyone loves giving advice. And if you're thinking about a change, and it's non-traditional and someone's giving you advice, you don't have to take it to heart. And you don't have to just like worry about, I felt like I was 100% and I was really excited about the decision, but like that person said that and I just can't get over it. Like, is it someone that you love and trust and respect? Or is it just a random friend in passing that just like spouted out some thought?
Right, and they never thought about it again.
No, and they never thought about it again. You're like, maybe I won't make that life change. Also, it's not a race. So there's not a time limit. I kind of talked about this at the beginning. There's not a time limit of when you should be doing what you're quote unquote doing for the rest of your life. There's not like a place of, well, once I'm married, I need to just stick with my job forever now. Or once I have kids, or, you know, I'm graduated from college now, I need the career. Mm-hmm. Or what the career looks like, or how many days a week, or if it's flexible, if you're working for yourself or not. So take your time, decide what you would do if you weren't being paid for it. And that's a good way to kind of figure out what you truly love and are passionate about. Obviously, we need to be paid to survive. But if there's like Katie, even with improv stuff, that's something that she enjoys. This podcast,
Right.
We'd be doing it if we weren't getting paid for it because we weren't for a long time.
Right.
And so you look at something like that and you just, that's kind of a good way to weed out what do I truly enjoy and get excited about?
Yeah.
And what's just a job that 20 years down the line I'm going to hate, right. even though it's preparing you for what's next.
Well, also, like, what were you like as a kid? Or yeah. ask your parents, what am I good at? What do you notice about me? What do I enjoy? trusted friend, when you think of me, what do you, you know, yeah. what do you see? What I come alive, like, journal it out, like, or if you have like a to-do list of 10 things, what's the one thing on the to-do list that you're like, ooh, that's the one I'm looking
forward
to?
That's first. Yeah. That's good. That's really good. Okay, my next thought would be prepare financially if you're going to take a leap.
Yeah.
So this is when we get a little practical. So we've talked a lot about like feely, like you don't have to be at that stable job. Do what you love. Do what you do if you weren't getting paid for it. And some people might be rolling their eyes thinking like, but we're living in reality.
Right.
So this is where if you're at the point where you're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to quit. Then you need to make sure that you're in a responsible place, especially if you have family involved, to where you don't have a mountain of debt. You don't have zero money in your bank account. Try to save up a little bit of at least like, I'd say 2 to 6 months of like living expenses, especially if you're going straight freelance and it's not something you're going to be making money on right away, and prepare. Otherwise, you're going to get in a bad place. And guess what? Then that thing that you love and you do for free gets really terrible and stressful.
Right.
Because money is needed to buy food for your kids.
Right.
So that would be my responsible tip of still come up with a game plan and be responsible about the time frame and don't make a quick decision. If you're married, talk to your partner about it. Don't just come and be like, I quit. I quit. I listen to podcasts. I'm doing the thing. I listen to it on my lunch break and I'm out. Like, I'm out. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. Like, figure out what you're going to do.
Right.
Figure out what it is you love and how you can monetize it before you just jump ship.
And if you noticed, a lot of our guests talked about how I did this on the side. And yeah. once I started crunching the numbers, I realized this side thing is making as much as my full-time job. I think I'll quit.
Half as much. And you're like, and I'm only spending a fourth of my time doing it. If I spent 100% of my time doing it.
That's true. And I think literally all of them said that.
Yeah.
I think 100% of our guests said that.
So side hustle. So you're working twice as hard for a while.
For a little while.
Before you get to do only what you love full-time.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. So, okay, wrap up thought. Even those things in life can feel pointless. They're all making you who you are and leading to where you're going to end up in a happy, thriving workplace. And then even when you're forced to do something that you're not wanting to be doing at the time and you feel like, oh, this job or, oh, this schooling that I'm doing, this class that I'm having to take.
Right.
Treat it all like it's important because it's all going to make you who you are. And you're learning skills and you're making connections with clients.
Yeah.
Katie and I found every day, even when you don't know it, that can come back to be helpful later in life.
Very, very true.
Yeah.
Word. So good. Shout out to my mom who's like, I'm like turning 60 this year and I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
It's never too late.
Yeah, it's never too late. And we've been talking a little bit about like, what do you love to do? She's like, I love shopping. And so now really, she does. And she's good at it. So now we're looking through, what could that be?
Shopper?
What could that be?
There are people.
Yeah.
Oh man, I can do a whole business plan for her.
Okay, let's
there are people who hate shopping.
There are people who hate shopping.
There are people who hate shopping who have money and they want to let you spend. There's nothing more fun than spending other people's money. The only problem is you don't get to take this stuff home with you, but you also don't have to be like, oh, I just spent all that money.
Yeah.
I love shopping for other people.
So I'm going to keep you guys posted if she becomes the new business.
Do. I'm excited. Okay, so for this segment, Katie and I are each going to tell our low point story really quickly.
Oh, gosh.
A low point story from Shalotsky's Deli or...
Shalotsky's was awesome.
Wherever you worked.
That's the one thing I will say. I feel like I've never had a job I've hated because I love people so much that I'm like, I love my coworkers.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see them again. I don't care what we're doing as long as we're chatting. But I'm sure I can think of one.
Okay. I had to work Thanksgiving.
Oh.
At the place where I was selling brands and tickets and sending people on timeshares.
Oh, that's sad.
And I'm such a responsible person that I was like, my parents were like, quit. And I was like, I can't quit These people are depending on me.
On Thanksgiving.
Everyone has to work Thanksgiving. Not true. There were only a few people. And some people didn't even, like, celebrate on the day of Thanksgiving. And I did. And anyway, I still went. Because I was, like, such a responsible employee at this job that I didn't need or have for long after that, even. Yeah. So that's when I was kind of like, what am I doing with my life?
Were you, like, alone in the ticket booth?
There was, like, it wasn't, like, a booth. It was an actual, it's, like, a rest stop.
Yeah.
So, like, people would go in and use the bathroom and be like, do you want some Shoji Hibachi tickets? No. They'd come in wanting to buy tickets usually so we could sell hotel rooms and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, there were, like, two of us there. It wasn't fun.
Did you guys share a turkey sandwich?
No. I think, actually, the person who was there was like, we don't both need to be here, and let me, like, leave a couple hours early, which was super scandalous for me. Because she's like, you'll be fine. No one will even know. No one's even here. It's Thanksgiving. No one's coming. And so she let me go home. So I wasn't late to my big
extended family thing. And how much were you making an hour? Do you remember?
We were making like nothing an hour, basically. Well, it was very low. Like as low as they could pay us and not get like arrested. So probably like $7 an hour maybe or less. And then we got commissions on certain hotel rooms we sold.
Right.
Certain tickets, not many. And then if we booked a timeshare tour, we got $50.
Yes.
And sometimes you'd book like five in a day or...
You're like, I'm rich!
Don't mind all the other days I made $30.
I thought of my low point.
Yeah.
I mentioned it in one of the beginning episodes that I waited tables.
Ooh, yeah.
And that it took me 2 weeks to put in my 2 weeks notice. And I worked there for a total of 4 weeks. Aww. And I was such a basket case. I mean, I went home crying every single day. And I would harbor every single failure. Like, if someone had to remind me to get a refill, I was like,
oh, man.
I can't believe I forgot that refill. It was, like, turbo multitasking and people-pleasing all at once. And I was not gifted at it at all. And one time... Okay, this is really embarrassing.
Okay, I would love it.
One time, while I was, like, hand and trays full of dishes I was, like, taking somewhere, one of my tables was like, we have to run. They'd probably been waiting on me, let's be honest. We have to run, so can we just give you this cash and call it good? Our meal should be, like, $20, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, okay. They, like, put it in my apron pocket. I went and I did the thing. I come back to their table, and I'm like, wait a minute, what, who, I totally lost track of it. I totally lost track of, like, how, like, did they leave? Did they pay me? I don't understand. And so then I asked my manager, I was like, did they pay someone else? And they were like, I don't know. And then they ran out the door and tried to track them down.
Oh, gosh.
Because they thought they dined and dashed. And then I realized, like, 30 minutes later, I had $20 in my pocket, and it was fine. But anyway, I, like, made a big deal about, like, that's how absent-minded I would be, because I was, like, so
stressed,
mental capacity. And then I'd, of course, lay in bed and be like, I can't believe.
What am I doing with my life?
What if he had caught up to them? Like, what would they have said? I'm like, you never paid me. Like, we literally had a conversation about it.
Right.
There's lady. $20 in your apron. Oh. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. And to you, lady.
And I will put in my notice.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
That's you were a better hostess than I was a waitress. At least you got to stay put.
I kind of enjoyed it. Yeah, I was a restaurant hostess. I didn't even bring that up.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the coordination of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's different to be, like, running around.
Oh, yeah. There were times that I would seat a whole table and then not assign it to a server. And then the people would just sit there and get all ticked at their server. Like, he hasn't even been by our table yet. And it's like, because he doesn't know that you're his table.
That was me.
And so I'd tell the server and I'd get like a look. And I'd be like, I am so sorry. They've been sitting there like a little while. And then he'd look at them and he'd be like, they look mad. And I'd be like, do you want me to go talk to him? I'd be like, that would be great. So I'd be like, hey guys.
Just so you know.
It was all me, not your server. Yeah.
That's so hilarious. Restaurants, give grace.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving
be
parts.
Be nice to the people who are waiting at your table. Make eye contact with them. Ask them how they're doing. Don't be a brat.
I do feel like on week four, like the day I was leaving.
You got the hang of it?
I was like, oh, okay. I'm still going to go.
Yeah, so peace out. Katie, out.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, guys. Disclaimer, we interrupt this regular scheduled program to say Katie's been alone on the farm with 3 kids and 1 on the way for how many days?
I don't even know. Captain's log.
Captain's log.
I've now lost track of the days.
Today's
She is, I don't know, probably doing 8 out of 10. So.
She did. And like a good friend, I got up extra early, helped her kids get ready, said, I'll keep the younger two. You just take Callie to school. Or I slept in until Callie had to peek in to tell me goodbye. And then I was like, I can watch the little ones if you want. She's like, no, that's good. I'll just put them in here.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Also, feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Seriously, we love you.
Splash Bubbles just came in. I know the whole theme song. Da, 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 da.